Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's so true. You know, anything like that happens, I'm like, oh, you're a homophobe, go away. And it's normally my mum going, you want another sausage roll? No, I am not. And keep the double entendre. Talking of...
Hello.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Ah, ça va? Mm-hmm.
Très bien, et vous?
Ah, pas that's mal, pas that, mal.
That's your lot, isn't it? After
well, she can't hear me now. You're just cutting me off. I said, pas mal, going, not bad, not bad. I was alluding to the fact I'm depressed. We'll move on.
Oh, he's not depressed.
No. We've been depressed. We've all been in the darkness.
We have.
The curtain is slowly rising.
Well, it is for you, because you're on tour, aren't you?
Yes. It's still baby steps in a way, but it's massively different from even before Christmas. Uh-huh. And I think actually that last announcement, that last sort of huge lift of things in England a couple of weeks ago, there was a kind of sea change, I think, then, because everything's been either London or Birmingham or Cambridge. Uh-huh. So I don't have anything in Scotland till... Musselburgh at the end of this month, the Brunton.
Ah, that's the same with Steps. They're not back until June. So you're in good company coming to Scotland late.
Are you comparing Christine to Steps?
No, not vocally.
How very dare you. If you want to end this call right now, Christine, I would not blame you.
Christine knows me of old and knows I mean no harm. Christine and I, to let you understand, we first met whilst crossing over between shows at the Newtown Theatre.
We did.
And I was the 5:30 Cabaret Show, and the reason I remember that is because it was billed as the 5:30 Cabaret Show, and then Christine was 6:30. And, you know, our eyes would meet, and it'd just be a bit like, hi, another day.
Break a leg.
Oh, yeah, really go for it, hen. But no, the techs absolutely loved your show, and some of them couldn't even speak French, unlike Girls Aloud.
Well,
that's so nice to hear.
Oh, no, genuinely, they loved it. They absolutely loved it. And then we were at an event, because I was writing for Emma Miller's magazine, Hood Magazine, and you were the entertainment. That was maybe the November before all this started.
Right.
And really,
gosh,
you are, in the same way Michelle is, although Michelle's a big gusty belter, but, you know, it's fairly natural. You're just so natural. You just fit into that Parisian vibe.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm where I am blessed is that because I'm not trained, you know. I mean, I was an English and French teacher. I didn't do music, but I always sang. But I do, my natural voice lends itself to that repertoire. I always had this strong vibrato, and I think that kind of helps. And then obviously singing it for 1,000 years, as I have been, you know, you develop a niche within that genre. But it's lovely, actually, because the kind of work that's come back to me, I've gone back to Piaf. You know, I've gone to a lot of theatres where I've never played while we're still trying to reschedule what was cancelled, and with Paris or Tonight You Belong to Me, the 20 show. But it's a great repertoire, you know. It's just these songs are, and obviously the nature of the show, the Piaf show, the fact that, you know, I'm so, and this is not a tribute, this is not an impersonation. Mm-hmm. I don't look or sound really like Piaf, certainly don't look like Piaf, but this is my life story interwoven with Piaf's story and how the chance discovery of a Piaf record led to this crazy life journey.
It's incredible because you, obviously, you were waxing lyrical about Christine, and we've just been speaking as well. We were talking to Michelle McManus, who she's got a girl crush on you, apparently.
I love Michelle. I love Michelle, the artist, and I love Michelle, the person. She's such a tremendous human being.
Yeah, she's fabulous. She's great.
She is.
But I feel very awful and ignorant that until I was made aware of you, I wasn't aware of you. So I'm...
Well, that's always going to happen once in your life.
Yeah, that's true. You can't do everything. And I don't... And they said I'm not allowed to do this, but I wanted to put you on the spot. Do you do just... Can you just sing off the top of your head if somebody asks you to?
Of course I can. Are you asking me to?
I am asking you to.
I'm appalled, but go for it.
Yes, they told me, don't you dare ask
her. What do you want
her.
Me to sing?
I don't know anything. No,
rien de rien. Non, je ne regrette rien, ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Voilà, c'est tout.
Wow.
I'm in my living room. Look, I'm looking out.
Wow.
I'm looking out to see. My little dog is saying, "Mom, it's early. It's early for Pia."
That's incredible. I have such envy for that level of talent to just sing like
that. Yeah, no, I'd like to be able to do that. The funny thing is, Christine, I think I've mentioned before, my old man fell foul of a stroke. And has vascular dementia and a lot of trouble.
Keep it light.
Do you mind? I'm trying to talk about my life. For God's sake, Jesus. But the one thing I was about to say before I was cut off was he still remembers you and remembers your work and still asks after you. He doesn't know it's me necessarily all the time, but it's like, did someone know, Ken, that Christine Bovell? She was good. Which one are you? And I always go, I'm Sheena. But no, he remembers. he remembers. So it's
that's
amazing.
So blinded.
It's amazing.
You know, the thing...
Sorry, Bruce. No, on you go.
But it's amazing because it's this has touched my life as well. Just, you know, dementia and Alzheimer's is the most, tragic end for someone's life. But the incredible, in that journey, once people are locked into the illness, what they remember in terms of music in particular is a story. And lyrics, you know, like you say, they might have trouble identifying a face of their own flesh and blood. And yet I had a friend, actually a colleague, whose father, like yourself, he ended up not really recognising his son when he came to visit. But he could sing. He didn't speak French, but he'd been in the war. He could sing La Marseillaise, the French national anthem, every word from beginning to end.
Wow.
Isn't it? The chambers of the mind and where it's all at. It's it's very poignant.
Music unlocks a lot of things like that. I've seen a couple of examples of exactly that. They can't remember who they are, but they can remember the lyrics to a song from years ago. And
And
also the way that music evokes such great memories sometimes as well. That's kind of...
It's like perfume, I think. Photographs and songs and perfume. It's just that moment and you are thrust into a moment. Either it's someone you remember or a moment in your life or, songs in particular do that, absolutely. And Piaf, I mean, I played in London in Greenwich on Sunday night and Zidel the week before in Piccadilly Circus. And it's such, I mean, people are crying and standing at the end and that's overwhelming and wonderful to be part of. But songs like No Regrets, it just touches, you know, we, of course, we have regrets. Piaf had tons of regrets. But an ideal world of song, we can see to hell with it all, you know.
It was funny because I heard No Regrets last night. I was watching a programme that I'd done warm-up for to do with singing drag queens. And Leona Winter, who was the contestant from France, who'd called herself Leona after Leona Lewis, who was one of the judges, she sang it. And Vanessa Williams, the actress, had said, I was really worried you were going to sing that because it's on an advert in America and it really does my head in. But your interpretation or indeed presentation of it was so fresh and just really different and really enjoyable.
Wow. I don't know a song that's been used more often in adverts throughout the years and in film than Je ne regrette rien. It was in a car at BMW or Audi or something a few years ago in the cinema. I went to see a James Bond movie and obviously I'm going to kind of sit up. And then famously, of course, and famous opticians used it somewhat. There we are. Yeah, we'll talk about that. It wasn't
you've done film scores, haven't you? You've done music for films.
I've had the joy of a couple of things landing in film scores, the most recent being Ant-Man and the Wasp. Uh-huh. I had written a friend had sent a melody up, he'd written on the piano with 3 days to write a French lyric and record it. And I was on tour in Ireland and I was on this little plane to Waterford and I scribbled out lyrics, not knowing if they were any good. Got back, he'd arranged all this, went to a studio in Busby in Scotland and put it down, and it was taken up by KPM, Sony, the library archives for film, for the industry to use. 2 songs were, including that, Sur Mon Île de Rêve, and then they've used it on a lot of things. BBC has, a lot of American TVs have used it, Hannibal and The Preacher. So it's me singing and it's my lyrics, which is nice.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Having seen
Ant-Man
you,
and the Wasp,
and I know that all performers get some element of nerves, and you never display that as far as I can see. You always look very confident and you know where you are and you know what you're going to do. When you're singing in French in France, does that make it any different? Are you nervous about that? Do you feel possibly you're being judged a wee bit more?
It was a complete 180 in my life and in my career in terms of that very thing. Maybe 12 years ago, the idea of speaking to an audience, just speaking, because I had written this kind of script of Piaf's life, and I went on stage at the Edinburgh Fringe with the script that I only used as a kind of free-floating life raft. I didn't read from it, but it was there. And I looked over in my opening night, and I had brought on stage the driving directions to get to the venue. And that was it. So I just decided, I'm just going to talk. And I did, and I've never, and it's been a bit like a comedian. It's been, you know, I get a kind of thrill, I suppose, of it. How it comes out every night will be differently. I know it's all in there, but I'll respond to the audience and things. And I don't get nervous anymore. I would get nervous if I weren't prepared. If I went on stage and I didn't know the material, that would be the only thing. In France, I haven't done a huge amount in France. I've had this residency in Berlin for the last 4 or 5 years, and that has been a Scot speaking in English, singing in French to Germans, and they love it. But the last 3 years, I've had this return visit to a chateau in France.
Ooh.
And I'm going back there.
Do you like having house guests with you? Chateau, Bruce.
Actually, I went in the first year of lockdown. I had to quarantine for 2 weeks. I thought, what else am I doing? So I went out and did a little concert in this, and I stayed in the chateau on my own.
Oh.
I ended up doing some of the housework. I ironed because it was this huge, big, it was this Gladly, this wonderful couple who are friends who own it, they're an English couple, but this huge big ballroom where we did the Paris show, it was all big tables because they had dinner afterwards. And I said, I'll iron the linen tablecloths. 2 days it took me. I'm running this honest cheap white cotton linen table covers, you know, because it's got to be pristine.
Yeah.
So it's all part of showbiz. The French loved it. The French were unbelievably kind. Just the novelty, because remember, this is really old music for French people. Piaf died in 63. So a French person doing like 20s, 30s stuff over here, maybe, and Piaf being such an icon. I suppose I was a wee bit more nervous the first time I did it, because it's like bringing coals to Newcastle. You're thinking they're going to be so, all right.
Yeah, who does she think she is? Yeah.
Entered. It was the opposite. They were thrilled and unbelievably generous of spirit to me. Really, it was amazing.
What made you gravitate towards French as a language? French and English teacher. So where did the Francophile, if that even is a word, come out in you, if you see what I mean? Because I watched a documentary about Josephine Baker about 3 weeks ago. And saw the reason that, you know, France took her to heart. Also as well, that was a way for her to escape a fairly hellish existence. And it was funny watching towards the end, because although she'd gone back in which to be decorated, I'm not sure if she made her peace with it, if you see what I mean. There seemed to be some unresolved issues on her part, because then she came back and adopted all these children. So we know where Madonna got the idea from. Madonna does like a bit of a remix. But what is it about French that you like so much?
It's funny because you're seeing all this, and this new show that I've got, the 20 show, Josephine Baker is celebrated massively in it. And the first time I played in France a few years ago in the chateau, I went to her castle because it was in the Périgord, yes, where yes. the chateau is. And this wonderful couple and their daughter, French family, have brought it all back to life. Oh. It is tragic how, well, in the end, she was forced out, the upkeep yeah. of it, but what a place. My journey with it began by Piaf. I was collecting old jazz records of the 20s and 30s from the beginning of my teens, which helped make me popular at school in the 80s. And and a priest friend of the family, who knew of my love of old songs, came round with a record he thought I should listen to. That is, it's literally, I say in the show that Graham Greene said, there is a moment in every childhood when a door opens and lets the future in. Mm-hmm. This was my moment.
Oh, that's
because
a beautiful
it just,
expression.
I heard this record. I hated French at school. I slept through school French. And I became obsessed with it. I did my high French. I did a 5-year degree. I became a French teacher, French and English. Beside, on my mantelpiece here, there is a collection of books that my grandmother bought my dad in about 1950. They were published in 1946. Academic books, sciences, arts, languages, and the French one. When I got the Piaf record, I played catch up with Madame Piaf's French, which you're not really getting in school, and this little book. And my dad gifted me the whole collection, actually, at Christmas, which is so lovely. Oh. So I hold those two things, I hold so dear, the Piaf discovery and where it took me all over the world, mm-hmm. and this little book, this little black and white 1946 French, Learn French book.
And how old were you when you discovered Piaf?
14.
Wow. And did you, at that stage, just prior to that, did you have any idea of what you then thought you wanted to do when you grew up? That
I mean,
your journey
I was clever enough at school, but I didn't like school. I was kind of bullied, and mm-hmm. and I wanted to act or sing. I mean, I was good at language. I was good at English. My dad was my English teacher, actually. And I wanted to perform. I wanted to perform. Hold on a wee minute. Someone's just come here and someone's saying hello. Like,
hello.
She's just,
oh, hello.
This is Poppy.
Hello,
this is
Poppy.
Poppy's heard this so many times. This story. She says, "Mama, right." So, no, I wanted, and then I became an English and French. I actually taught English a lot longer than French. I really love teaching English, but when I started writing my own material in 2004. I slowly came out of teaching and released my first album, my own album, in 2011.
And are you still largely based in Glasgow? I mean, when you say you've got a residency in Berlin, how long are you away from home? Where do you, how long do you stay?
There's Argyle Street.
There.
I've moved in the water.
Have you?
Yes. No, nice. I meant musical residency, sorry. As in return visits to the same theatre in Berlin, to Bayer Vernunft, and got an agent in Berlin, so in Germany. So I've been doing, I played the Kurt Weill Festival. I love it. This was completely unknown territory to me. Chanson is still huge in Berlin, and their reverence for cabaret and how they treat the artists is magnificent. I love it. But the Kurt Weill Festival in Dessau, I played in September. So yes, I am a Scottish girl through and through. I'm doing the, I live, as you can see, on the beach, mm-hmm. and I'm half an hour away from Glasgow, so it's dead easy, you know.
Why do you think it is the case that somewhere like Berlin pays credence and respect to their cabaret performers? Having done a lot of cabaret stuff, by and large, by the producer, I've been treated well, but you hear stories from travelling cabaret acts who are like, oh yeah, don't work with them when you're down there, or don't do this, because they really, you know, they don't respect the art form. And I think a lot of people think it's just burlesque and all titillation, when it's not.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, I don't know. This would be my guess of an answer would be the obvious point that cabaret could be defined, was crystallized in Berlin in the 20s, Weimar Germany, before it all went wrong. The country was bankrupt after the first war. But what grew? Weimar Berlin and the likes of Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht and Dietrich and all these people. Berlin was the place for cabaret in the 20s. It took over Paris, really. Les années folles in Paris. Of course, you had New York. That's what the show is based on, this new show that I've got. But Berlin, you know, when we think about the permissive decade of the 60s, it is play school compared to what went down in Berlin in the 20s. And just the freedoms and the liberation and experimentation with music, with culture, with everything. There are several fantastic documentaries on YouTube about Weimar cabaret. And I think I just think everywhere I've gone in Germany, they are so respectful of the artist. And you come off stage, people will queue for 2 hours at the merchandise table just to meet you and ask for a signature, ask me to sign their ticket. And people will pay a lot of money for a CD because, let me explain, a CD is a... I miss it. I haven't been since I went to Dessau, but I haven't been back since lockdown. They've had to open and close and open and close. So, but yeah, Berlin cabaret. And they get my humour. Their English is so good. Mm. They're so funny. It's really just been an eye-opener.
I've done comedy in Berlin and I absolutely loved it in a place called Kookaburra Club. I don't know if it's still there, but it was.
Well, there you go. You're doing comedy in English, mm-hmm. I take it, yeah?
Yeah.
And
they love it. It's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And Berlin, I just found the most fascinating city.
So
and I went on one of those sort of open-top bus tours.
Yep.
And the sort of the four corners of it. It was just fantastic.
The food was a revelation.
Incredible.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Although I always, when I think of Berlin and Paris, actually, I always sort of think in black and white. Does that make sense?
No. That's interesting.
You belong
in the world of cabaret of Weimar.
Oh. In sepia tones.
You've been drawn back.
Absolutely.
In sepia tones. Yes, I've performed in Berlin, but it wasn't comedic.
I don't, and we don't want to know, thank you.
Oh,
very
I do,
much.
Bruce, I do want to know.
Yes.
Put the kettle on.
Who's for a coffee?
We want to try, it'll be mucky, won't it? So
when are you, what are your dates, where can people find you?
Okay, so coming up, I just played London on, where are we? Oh, I'm on Radio Scotland on Saturday. I'm on off the Ball.
Oh, wow.
I'm on chatting on Sunday with Stuart and Tam. Uh-huh. I'm having a wee chat with them on Sunday. Tuesday, I'm down in Kent, in Deal, doing Piaf. Uh-huh. And then Tuesday, I'm in Bracknell, just up from London. And then it's this Saturday night, I'm in Deal. It's all in my website. In Scotland...
That's the best thing.
ChristineMobile.com. In Scotland, my next date is the Brunton in Musselburgh. But later in the year, I'm playing the Queen's Hall, my own gig. Oh. Not Piaf or Paris or anything. My own... Yeah. My own songs and everything. And I had a great concert at Oranmore in Glasgow in November, just celebrating the anniversary of my first album. And we had a great night, and people came out and were brave enough to come and sit in the dark and laugh and cry and have fun. Wow.
Can I ask one final thing? Do you think the comparisons drawn between Judy Garland and Edith Piaf at the end of their careers, at the end of their life, are just? In as much as they seem to be relatively similar, that they didn't have a great time with men, they kind of had everything, lost everything, you know, they were paying for the guys in a lot of way, and tragically, I don't want to say victims, but I don't think they necessarily were treated with the most chivalry, for want of a better description.
They both died at the same age, and there are huge parallels between Garland and Piaf's life, I think. Neither would see themselves as a victim. They had a very, very different professional life. Mm-hmm. Piaf worked till the very end. I'm like everybody else, a massive Judy Garland fan, and you know, she what a legacy of work she left. Like Piaf, both of them really buried in the depths of their soul when they sang. They did have a similar emotional quality in their voice. But I absolutely think I wrote a show years ago called A Star Is Torn. And looking at, because when I wrote my PF show, I wrote the same for Billie Holiday, and I did those kind of shows quite a lot. Billie Holiday, again, 44, you know, around this mid-40s age, they just ran out of life. Yes, I think Judy Garland was much, much more manipulated by those around her. PF was a consummate professional, but had quite the appetite for self-destruction. And refusal to curtail her lifestyle, despite Piaf never ever took drugs recreationally. Neither did Judy Garland. I mean, it was all kind of painkillers and uppers, But I think both Piaf certainly, I think, liked to drink, and I think Judy Garland did as well. In terms of, obviously, we know about the studio and all those moguls, and you know, the damage that was done so early. Both of them, rejection in childhood, I think, and how it plays out in adulthood, probably is the common denominator. I'm waffling on. I don't know. You asked an off-the-cuff question.
I think that is very succinct, and that's what we're all about here at Be Honest, off-the-cuff questions.
So. Absolutely. And also that we can find you on ChristineBoville.com.
Yes.
And the usual Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
Good. And you have a big new fan.
Thank you so much.
Drop of a hat, just singing
I wasn't late to the party. You were always on my list, but I'm not going to flag that up.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Lovely, lovely to meet you, Christine. Thank you so much.
And have great shows. Lovely.
Thank you so much.
Mwah. Thanks, love.
I'll see you soon. See you at gig.
Yeah.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.